Okay, Rabbi Yisai, today's daf is daf Chov Dalet. It's unrelated to him.
Yeah.
We are holding the very last line of the Omer of Yossi Bar Avin, but perhaps we should just go back two lines earlier. At the end of the third line from the bottom, it says, Hano Trei Talmidei, two lines from the bottom, Hano Trei Talmidei, Havakame, Rav Yitzchak Ben Eliashiv. Prior to this Gemara, we learned yesterday that Rav Yitzchak Ben Eliashiv had tremendous koyach in tefillah, so much so that whatever he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted his request on the spot.
Wow.
For instance, Ramani came to him and told him that my Shver's family is causing me Shverakaiten, they're causing me troubles. He says, no, if that's the case, let them become poor. And they became poor. And after that he said, because they're so poor, they're putting pressure on me. He said, let them become rich. And they became rich. He said, my wife, unfortunately, is ugly. He says, oh, let her become pretty. And she became pretty. And he says, she's now overbearing. Well, if that's the case, let her become ugly. And she became ugly. So obviously he had tremendous powers. And Hanovei Trei Talmidim, there were two Talmidim that were learning by Rav Yitzchak and Eliashiv, Umbulay, and they said to him, since you have these powers, Niboy Mar Rachmi Alon, please go and be mispal for us, the Nechtam Tuva, that we should become very, very smart. In other words, we should understand the Limud much better, we should remember it better, etc. Amlahu imi hoisa, I had it, ushalachtia, and I sent it away. But if we look at the Rashi, the final Rashi, next to the final Rashi, imi hoisa, ushalachtia, three lines at the bottom, dovazahoye biyodi, I had it in my hands, shekol masha nimavakish hoyanoisali, whatever I asked for Hashem gave me, the achshav ain't vilas mekubelis kolkach, but recently it hasn't been accepted in the same way. So it sounds like, you know, this great koyach atfilah that I had somehow has faded. However, if you look at the Ois Tzadik, which gets us into the Bach adds some magical words over here at the very bottom of the Amud, the last line. It's not really that he no longer had that power. He still had that power. Ushlachtia means I sent it away because Reb Yitzchak ben Eliashiv felt uncomfortable being matriach the Rabbeinu Shalom, because Baruch Hu has other things to do other than just saying yes each time Reb Yitzchak ben Eliashiv makes a request. So he said, I felt bad putting on the tircha on the Rabbeinu Shalom. According to the Bach, the Girsa of the Gemara is much better, because the Rashi on the surface says, I had it, but no longer. The word shlachtia sounds like a very active, a proactive thing. I sent it away. So according to the Bach, that makes more sense, because he said, I didn't want to be matriach Hashem, so therefore, I said to Kadosh Baruch Hu, thank you for giving me this gevaldige koyach hatfilah, and answering each time, I thank you, I return it, and give it to somebody else.
Why was he zocha for
such a... The Gemara doesn't tell us, but obviously he must have been a great tzaddik.
What are the first, the contraction in the first word of the Bach, the Beis Ayin Dalet, what is that?
Emsa Dibur. Normally, if it says at the beginning, it says Dalet Hey, which is Dibur HaMaschel. We're going on the beginning of the Rashi.
Thank you.
When it says Beis Aleph Dal, it means the Emtze Diburai. Not at the beginning, at the end, or in the middle. Anyway, that's the story with Rav Yitzchak ben Eliashiv. The reason why we went over this is because we're going to come to a Gemara now where we're going to see once again someone who was Matriach Koinoi and could of course, the Kodesh Baruch Hu to do supernatural things, and the Gemara or the particular Tanu HaMoira was not happy about it.
What's Kono?
Sorry?
Koinoi. What is that?
Koinoi means the Rabbeinu Shalom, the one that created the world. So Gemara, Rabbi Yossi bar Avin. Habashchiyah kameh, Rabbi Yossi demin yokris. We're going to talk about Rabbi Yossi bar Avin. He was previously a Talmud in the yeshiva of Rabbi Yossi bin Yukris. Shavke. He left the yeshiva of Rabbi Yossi bin Yukris. The Osla kameh de Rav Ashi, and now he joined the yeshiva of Rav Ashi. Yoyim achad shameh te kagaris. One day he heard him learning. Whom learning is two separate gesois in the Rashi. As you see the very top line of Rashi, Rav Ashi heard Rabbi Yossi bar Avin, Lishnachrina, Yemachad Shami Rabbi Yossi bar Avin, Lirav Ashi. So there are two versions as to who was giving the shir and who was responding to the shir. But the Gemara says at this point, Yemachad, let's learn like the first pshat of the Rashi, that it was Rav Ashi that was giving the shir, and Rabbi Yossi bar Avin was listening very intently. He heard that Rav Ashi was learning. Omar Shmuel, Hashoy Ledagmin Ayam B'Shabbos, Kiven Shiyovish Boy Kesela Chayv. Person who goes and pulls out the dag, the fish from the yam, on Shabbos, as soon as it gets yovish kesela, it dries up the shear of a matbea called a sela, then chayiv yirchayiv on being maimis this fish, meaning that this fish will not be able to exist any longer. Rashi points out, l'choira, I should say, from the first moment that I pull the fish out of the water, wouldn't I say that there's a problem of tzeida or tzad, capturing a living animal, in this case a living fish? Why am I not oiva already at that time? So Rashi says it's talking about a situation that already on Erev Shabbos, the person caught the fish and put it into a basket, which apparently was a wicker basket. He put it into the yam, which was probably some sort of small cover of some sort, so that the fish should not jump out. But the fish was already caught from Erev Shabbos. The reason why the person who caught the fish kept it in the basket inside the water is so that the fish should continue to live. Because obviously if you take it out of the water for a short period of time, it'll die.
To stay fresh.
So he left it in the water, and now on Shabbos he pulled out the fish from the basket. It's not a tzeder because it was already caught from before. However, if he leaves it out of the water for a minute, 5 minutes, as long as it takes to be yovish by kesela, then he is chayiv. And Rashi points out, even though the fish is still tzapling means it's still flapping back and forth, it's mefarches, and you can throw it back into the water and it still looks like it's still around, it makes no difference. As long as yovish bo'i kesela, you're chayiv for being maimis, for going and killing the duck. If you're wondering which one of the lametes malacha we had back in Masechet Shabbos, shochet means netivas neshama. Here's netivas neshama, you cause this fish to die. Amalei. So now he, Rabbi Yosi bar Avin, remember he's the new one that used to learn by Rabbi Yosi ben Yukris, and he's the new Talmud on the scene. He said, "V'leim amar, why don't you add Ravashi ubein snapirv? It's not enough that it gets, for instance, dry at the tail, or even on the back. It's got to be bein snapirv between the gills where the fish breathes. Only there would I say that the fish is already a goner." However, if it's dry somewhere else, even though it's Yavish Kesela, it could still continue to live. So this is what Rabbi Yosi bar Avin said. Omalei, so now Rav Ashi listened to Rabbi Yosi bar Avin, and apparently he did not know the name of this Talmud who is new in the yeshiva, new in his Bais Medrash. Omalei v'lesova lomar dahi Rabbi Yosi bar Avin amra. Why don't you repeat it in the name of the author of this Bein Snapirav? I've heard in the past that this was Rabbi Yosi bar Avin that said this. And presumably Rav Ashi was going to add that shortly. But in the meantime, Rav Ashi is admonishing Rabbi Yosi bar Avin for not saying that this Dvar Torah was said originally by Rabbi Yosi bar Avin. Now why does Rav Ashi care who said it originally? So Rashi brings the famous Maimer Chazal, and therefore don't you want to bring Gula Le'olam? So why do you say this anonymously? Why don't you say in the name of Rabbi Yosef Rav Avin? Amaleis, he told them, Anoniu, Dos Benich, I am Rabbi Yosef Rav Avin. And that's why I didn't mention Rabbi Yosef Rav Avin's name. Amalei, Rav Ashi said, I always heard about you that you're a Talmud in the yeshiva of Rabbi Yosi ben Yukris. What are you doing here? Weren't you there? Amalei, yeah. I used to learn Tak in his yeshiva. Amalei, my time is Shavke Mar v'asa ha'vasa. Why did you leave his yeshiva and come to us? Amalei, I was concerned that a person that doesn't even have Rachmanis on his own son and on his own daughter, how is he going to have Rachmanis on me? The Gemara is going to tell us now two stories, both about the son and about the daughter. The two stories are very hard to understand in terms of the bottom line, how Rabbi Yosi ben Yukris reacted in such a very strong fashion. But let's learn the Gemara. So Gemara Brei Mahi, what's the story with the son of Rabbi Yosi the Min Yukris that he did not have Rachmanis on his son? One day, Rabbi Yosi Min Yukris, he apparently had a field or two, and he hired some field workers to work in the field. It got dark, it was late already, the end of the day. typically at the end of the day he would have brought for them food, and he was nowhere to be found. He wasn't bringing any food. Amru lei librei. So the workers said now to the son of Rabbi Yossi de Menyukris, Kafiran, we are hungry, we are famished, we've worked the entire day and we haven't gotten our food. Haviyasmi tu sitainis. So they were all sitting underneath a fig tree. Omar, so the son of Rabbi Yossi de Menyukris, obviously he must have been a very great tzaddik, because he said now to Eina, to Eina, fig tree, fig tree, hoitzi peiresecha biyoichlu payale abba. Why don't you go and shed some of your fruits so that the payalim, the workers of father, can go and eat? And as soon as he said that, afiku fi'achlu. In fact, the fig tree trees listened very carefully, and it didn't take a moment, and they went and shed a lot of their, I guess it started raining down figs on all of these people, the achlu, and they ate it, and they had a machai. It was very geschmack, and it was very good. How do I know that? The Gemara will say in a moment. Arahachi vi'achi. As this is transpiring, Asavua, the father, meaning Rabbi Yossi ben Yukris, arrives on the scene. Omalahu, and he said to the payalim, to the workers, Loitinketu bidataychu, the haidinagana amitza terachna. I want you to know, don't have tainis on me that I'm late and I didn't bring you any food. The reason why I am delayed is because I was busy with a dvar mitzvah. Vad hashtahu desagoyin. Until this very moment, I was delayed because I was busy doing that dvar mitzvah. So please excuse me, it's not because of negligence or gross negligence, but poshit, I was oisi b'dvar mitzvah, and I couldn't make it in time. Umrelay, so they said to him, you don't have to be nervous, don't be concerned. Rachmana lispa'ach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should go and give you sevia. You should be satiated. Ki heichid de'az ben barach, just like your son caused us to be satisfied and satiated. Umrelahu, Mehecha, where did he take the food from? He wasn't in the marketplace. I mean, he didn't bake cakes. Well, what happened? Amru, so they told him, Hachi Machi Ava Masa, that we complained that we were famished. He said, Te'ena, Te'ena, and guess what happened? In a moment, it started raining down figs, and Amachaya. And Rabbi Yosef ben Yukris was not happy. Amaloi, Bini, my son, At Hitrachta Es Koincha, you caused your creator to have a tircha, you matriach your koina, to go and act in a premature way, meaning normally these figs would only have ripened probably in another month or whatever, and you cause them to come down now in a finished fashion so that they should be able to eat. So you matriach yikoina, lahoitzi te'ena perisea shloibes mana, to go and shed the peris early, before their time, prematurely. Yeyosef shloibes mana. So then you, chas v'sholem, meaning the son, you should also be taken away, shloibes mana. Again, I told you when I started the Gemara, it's difficult to understand how a great person like Rabbi Yosef ben Yukris could say something like that, Abazoi State. And this, therefore, is the connection between this Gemara and the previous Gemara. The Rabbi Yitzchak ben Eliashiv said, I no longer want to be matriach my koina, like we had in the Bach at the very end. He didn't want to be matriach the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Here too, that's the connection between these two Gemaras, that Rabbi Yosef ben Yukris was upset that his son was matriach the Rabbi Nishlam to do something.
Rabbi Yossi was matriach his workers.
Rabbi Yossi ben Yukris, he wasn't matriach his workers, he hired them.
But he was supposed to provide food at the right time. He caused him to...
So you're adding that to the difficulty of the Gemara. I agree, it's a difficult Gemara to understand. As we state, he came late, he had a dvar mitzvah, his son made amends. One normally would have thought that the father would have been so happy that the son took care of the workers, but instead he was upset. And that's story number one. Now we can have a...
that you'll have extra years. Now you won't be a normal, you'll get blessings because you did the right, you had to be triage, so you shouldn't, the workers shouldn't, you shouldn't be over on a...
That's what Brother Shai would have done, undeniably. but the Gemara has a different version of the story.
But you could see the type, you could outline that.
So that was the story of Bray. Let's get to the story of Brate, the daughter. Mahi, what's the story? Havyele Brate Balas Yoif. He had a daughter who was exceptionally pretty. Yoyi Machad, one day Chazil Hu Gavra, he saw the next door neighbor or someone else, they have a Karia Behutza, Kachazila. He had carved out a hole in the Hutza partition. Hutza means a partition that was made out of
some bushes.
Yeah, exactly. Somewhat flimsy materials. And that person had carved out a hole to be able to, as they would say today, a peephole. It's Amullah. And therefore, I'm sorry, I skipped a line. The Kochazila. And he was using that vantage point to go and see her and look at her. Omaloi. So he asked, hey, my high, hey, what are you doing, mister? What are you looking? Amalei Rebbe, im loy chalei zachisi, leroy soli ezke. If I didn't have the schus to go and marry her, at least I want to have the schus to be able to go and see her. She's so pretty, I want to be able to see. Amaloi. So now, Rabbi Yosef ben Yochris, again, what would Brother Shai have done? He would have built up a much stronger partition and wall, and he would have admonished the other fellow, don't do that. But instead, you're causing tsar for other individuals, that they see this very pretty woman, and they don't have the ability to go and marry you. You should return to offer, to where you were created, and people shouldn't be nichshol in you. Anyway, so what do we see? That's the end of this first part of the story. The point is, when Reb Ashi asked Reb Yosef Bar Avin, I thought you're learning in the yeshiva of Reb Yosef Ben Yochris, why have you left? He said, because since Reb Yosef Ben Yochris didn't have Rachmanis and his own children, his son and his daughter, I was concerned that maybe I would do something that would cause Reb Yosef Ben Yochris to be upset, and Chas V'Shalom, he won't have Rachmanis on me either. So I figured, better safe than sorry, and I left him here with Rav Ashi.
We always ask when it says, call a dover, call someone, also the Omer dover, shame Omro.
Maybe good item.
Or of course, Omer dover, but we never say in the name of Yosef Bar Avin. If he was the author of the statement, we should always say Yosef Bar Avin Amar.
Yosef Bar Avin was not the one that said Kolayim Mitav
Shemoyim.
Who said it? I think it's Bar Kapara. It's in Megillah. It's Bar Kapara.
It's not on Megillah. It's also Mishum Sechus Ovis and Perkei Ovis. You can take out a Siddur of Perkei Ovis very well if you want to. Anyway,
who was what? What's he saying? I'm like Ananinu.
I'm sorry.
When Yosef Bar Avin said Ananinu.
That's me. I know, Nihil.
I know, but Rav Ashi said, why don't you say in the name of
Rav Yosef Rav Avin? He says the reason I didn't say the name.
Who made the statement?
Of Ben Sapirov.
It's not Sapirov. It wasn't.
Let's start again. Okay. Rav Ashi gave the shir about Shmuel.
I see.
Who is one of the Talmidim listening to the shir? None other than Rav Yosef Rav Avin. Rav Yosef Rav Avin raised his hand and said, Rebbe, a beautiful shir. I haven't heard a shir like that in a long time.
Okay.
But I'd like you to add Ben Sapirov.
Okay.
So he said to him, why don't you repeat the name of Rav Yosef Rav Avin? He said, because that's me.
Yeah.
Okay. Brucham to you.
Go ahead. I'll find.
I think it's, isn't it Rabbi Luzer Rab Chanina? No, Rabbi Luzer Rab Chanina. Okay, you'll find it.
I'm here.
I'm Rabbi Luzer Rab Chanina. It's Perek Vav Mishnah Halacha Vav. The Mishnayos on the Surah of Shas are not exactly aligned with the Mishnayos as they are set forth in Perkei Avos in the Siddur. So maybe a drop earlier, drop later.
Okay. It's certainly not the girl's fault that she's so attractive.
I agree with you. Everything that you said is great. That's why I started off as a difficult Gemara. Right. I have no answer. Mitzvah, when you come up with an answer, please share with us.
Okay.
Anyway, continuing on the Gemara. You see the...
Put on different makeup. Don't put on this beautiful makeup. Put on more of a plain makeup.
We had an earlier page of the one that Yisrael Yashiv...
Yes.
Said that your wife is
should make her ugly.
Right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara, where you see the base. Havileha hu chamra. He, Rabbi Yosef ben Yochris, apparently he had this chamar. Kedahava agrila, when it was hired out by people. In other words, he had a special rent a chamar shop, and people would rent his chamar. As at the end of the day, kol yoimali urta hamishadri lo agra agaba. People would go and send back the money on the back of the chamar. In other words, they didn't pay in advance, they didn't give credit cards, but rather they would go and send the money on the back of the animal, and the animal would take it back to Rabbi Yosef ben Yochris. The asked the emor, and then brought it back home. Vitofula, if the person put too much money on the back of the chamar, or Yibachila put too little money, lo yasya, it wouldn't budge. In other words, it knew exactly how much was on the back of itself. Yom echad, one day, inshu zuga de sandli ala, somebody forgot his zuga de sandli, a pair of sandals, or shoes. Le ozla ad sheklunu mina, and then the animal refused to budge until someone finally took the forgotten shoes off its back. And then it started parading on, and it went back to its mark. So it's telling you how great the koyach of Rabbi Yosef ben Yochai is, that even his animal, the Gemara says elsewhere about the animal of Rabbi Pinchas ben Yoyah. So we see that Rabbi Yosef ben Yochai is also on a very high madrega.
It doesn't actually, very interesting, in the Mishnah of Avos, it doesn't mention who says it. It's over here.
That's why the Gula hasn't come yet.
Well, that's why I was always questioning, why doesn't it not say in whose name?
It's, in the Gemara Megillah, I came across it not too long ago, it's Bar Kapara. Bar Kapara is one of them in the name.
Bar Kapara, Omer Dever.
Somebody said the name of Bar Kapara. I think it's Rabbi Elizabeth Ben Pedas says the name of Bar Kapara. I think it's Rabbi Elizabeth Ben Pedas says the name of Bar Kapara. Okay. But that's the Gemara in Megillah. Here it's
nameless.
It's ironic, very ironic, isn't it?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Unless it goes back on an earlier mission.
And that's Yishuv ben Levi, right? That's all the way back to Yishuv ben Levi.
I agree.
Which seems very strange.
I agree.
Maybe Yishuv ben the Mishnah Beis is Amri Yishuv ben Levi. That's the last.
I saw that. I agree.
Yeah.
So let's continue on. Zot Gemara Yitzvayter. We're still here on Chav Dalet Amud Aleph, and now we are three lines below where we have the Beis of the Bach in the Gemara. And we're up to Elozer Ish Birta. It's about halfway down the Amud. Elozer Ish Birta, Elozer from, I guess, the town, village of Birta, can have a chozul le gaboy tzedokah, havi toshu minei, tchomai de have a gabay yov lu. Elozer Ish Birta was a very, very generous individual, and when anybody would come to him for tzedokah, he'd be willing to give away all of his nechasim, all of his possessions to help them out. It got so bad that the Gaboy Tzedakah, when they saw Elozer Ish Birta, they would hide from him because they were concerned he would give them everything that he owns, and then Elozer Ish Birta's own family wouldn't have enough food to put on the table because they gave everything away. So says Yomar, Elozer Ish Birta could have a chozul le Gaboy Tzedakah, when the Gaboy Tzedakah would see him, have a toshimine, they would hide from him, because any money that he had with him, Yoblo, he gave him everything, he took out his the whole wallet, gave everything. Yom Echad, one day, have a solik v'shuka, he, Elozer Ish Birta, was walking towards the shuk, towards the marketplace, lemizben nedunya lebrate, to go and buy a nadin for his daughter. In other words, his daughter's getting married, and she needed a whole array of clothing and wardrobe and this, that, and the other thing, and he was going down to go and buy it for his daughter. Chazyuhu gaboy tzedaka, so the gaboy tzedaka who were soliciting funds from many people, they saw him, Toshim and I, they immediately hid from him, like we said a moment ago. However, the problem was that Elozer Ish Birta caught sight of them, and Ozbura Basraini ran after them. Omlahu, and he said to them, Ashbesichu b'may askisu, I make you swear, what are you collecting for? Omlahu b'yosem v'yosema, we're collecting for Yosem v'yosema that need to get married, Achusim et Akala, and unfortunately, the parents from both sides are no longer, and therefore somebody's got to go and collect for them. Omelens, he said to them, who avoida, that's a Lushan Shvua, he's swearing, Shehein Koyim Labiti, if that's the case, if they have no parents on either side, they come first, Shokol Kol Dehavibadei V'yavlehu, he gave everything that he had in his pockets, whatever he had, he gave to them. He was buying now for his daughter, he must have had with him quite a bit of money, he gave everything away, except partially chazuz, somehow or other, probably by mistake, he had one zuz left over. So what did he do? What did he do with that one zuz? He can no longer go and buy the wardrobe for his daughter. But zoven le chiti, he went and bought some chitim, some wheat for asik, and he came home and shadi ba'akalba, and he threw it into akalba. What's that? Akalba, Rashi says, that's an oitzer. That's oitzer shochitim. That would be the shed or the granary where you normally throw all of your grain. He threw it in there and he went to the Besmedesh. Asoy de Misu. So now his wife came in. Omrullah, and he asked Omrullah Labrate, and she asked now her daughter, my Isi Abuch, I know that father went out to the Shuk. What did he bring back? Presumably she was thinking, did he bring back for her a whole trousseau, a whole wardrobe for her? Amrullah, so the daughter said to her, I didn't see what he brought. All I know is when he came home, whatever there was in his sack, in his bag, he threw it there into the Oitzer Shochitim, into that shed, into that granary, and that's where it is. Okay. Asil miftach bava dakalba. So they wanted to see what in fact was hiding there in the bava dakalba. So they tried to open the door of that shed. Chozis akalba de malichiti. They found that it was packed to capacity from one end to the other end with chitim. Because nafka betzinuri dasha, it was even sticking out on the, from the lintel and from the bottom and from the threshold. V'lei miftach bava mechiti. You couldn't even open the door. That's how packed, squeezed every little square inch, every nook and cranny was full of these chitim. You couldn't even open the door. Obviously, this was miraculous. Kodesh Baruch Hu made a nest. Exactly. Ozla brat el bei midrasha, and the daughter went to the Bismedish, and Umrelein, she said to her father, see what your beloved did for you. In other words, the Rabbi Yishalem, who loves you, Tati, look what he did for you, that he filled up the akalba from one end to the other with chitim. Amullah, as soon as he heard that, he said to her, Avoida, again he swore, Hari hegn hegdish olayich ve'im lecha behen ela ki'echa ma'nir yisra. He said that all of it becomes al hegdish, and you can only take like an oni ve'evian would be able to take. What's the reason why he was makdish? It says Rashi, like we learned a couple days ago in the Gemara, because you're not supposed to be nehena min ma'isen nisim, and he said that all of this was created by Nes, therefore I don't want you to have any hanoah from it, zero.
Is that a real rule?
That is a real rule. You're not supposed to have enough of a mice and nest. Mm-hmm. Normally you don't know what's a mice and nest, because everything the Kodesh Baruch Hu does on a daily basis, the fact that we walk down the street, that we can breathe, and we can learn, it's all to nisim. So to be able to differentiate between one nisim and another, something has to be really clearly supernatural. He knew that this was supernatural, so he only put in a one zuz worth of chitim, which was probably twice 10 stalks of wheat, and now there are 1,000. So obviously there was a miracle that was good. Yes, you have one to say something about it?
It's Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Kol Amadar B'Shem Omer Mevigul Olam, Shneamar V'Tom Esther Melech B'Shem Mordechai. It's Tesvav Amar Aleph, the bottom of Megillah.
Megillah. Whose name
again? Rav Elazar Ben Pedas, and same name of Rabbi Chanina. Rav Elazar, Stam Rav Elazar, Amor Elazar Ben Pedas.
Dr. Moravaita, Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya Gozer Tanisa, Rabbi Yehuda the Nasi. Now this is not the Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, this is an Einikol Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. And the Gemara always does that for a matter of convenience, so we shouldn't confuse the Einikol with the Zayda. So Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya Gozer Tanisa, he was Gozer Tanis. From here to the bottom and into the Omid Beis, we're going to have a number of great Tanoim Amiroim that were Gozer Tanis, and we're going to see how successful it was. He went and was mispalel for the osa mitra, and unfortunately it did not rain. Omar, he said, "Kama ikam mishmul haramosel Yehuda ben Gamliel." Look how the Yeridus Hadoyrois all the way from the great Shmuel haramosel, that Shmuel from Tanakh. I'm not sure whether it's Shmuel Aleph or Shmuel Beis, but either case, the Shmuel lived in Ramah, so that's how we got the name Shmuel HaRamasi. Why are we referring to him, says Rashi, because in his time there was also a terrible, terrible drought, and he was mispalel, and Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened, and it started raining. So he said, look how we have fallen from Shmuel HaRamasi, Yehuda ben Gamliel. Yehuda ben Gamliel is he himself, because he was Yehuda, the Siyah, the son of Ram Gamliel, who himself was a son of the famous Yudan Nasi, the one that codified the Mishnais. So therefore, he's bemoaning the fact how we have fallen from Shmuel all the way down to me, to Yehuda Nasiya, Yehuda ben Gamliel. Oile the dor shekein nitka. Woe is it to the generation that never finds itself in this state. Oile the misha olze biyom of kach. Never that they have such a leader like me, that they're looking to me to go be mispalel, and look how I have failed them. Nebuch, I feel bad for the folk, for the nation, that they don't have a leader like Shmuel HaRamasi. He's mispalel, and it immediately started raining, and I mispalel, and I can scream from my head to my toes the whole day and the whole night, and nobody listens. Cholish Daite, after he made that statement, he himself was very depressed and very distressed. The Asimitra and the Kodesh Baruch Hu then sent out the Matar. Why did Hashem send the Matar? Because it says in the Pasuk, Leiv Nishba V'Nibke Elikim Lei Sivze. When a person has a broken heart, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu listens to his tefillahs, and he had now a broken heart, now Kodesh Baruch Hu sent down the Matar. The Bein Nesiyah Gozer Tanisa Lo Yedi Inol Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish. The Beis HaNasi had been Gozer Tanis, and the message did not get to Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish. They didn't know about it. The Tzav, the next morning, they come to shul, like the Inu, and people said, Rabbi Yochanan, Rish Lakish, are you aware of the fact that they were goyzer tanis yesterday? So, Amalei Rish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan, Halei Kabil Nalam Yorto, Lechoyra, this is not chal on us, it's not effective vis-a-vis us, because we were not Mekabal Tanis, he was Mekabal Tanis the day before. Mincha, either Tvilis Mincha, Mincha time, and Machloikis. Amalei Anam Basrai Gerinon, we are verschlept after them. In other words, when do you have to Mekabal Tanis? Only if it's a Tanis Yochad that you're taking upon yourself. Here's a time, the Tzibur, that the Beinasiyah accepted for the whole community. And so therefore, even though we didn't know about it, we don't have to Mekabal Tanis. We have to go along for the ride, so to speak, and we do have to fast after all. The Beinasiyah goes to Tanis, and the Beinasiyah went to Goyze Tanis for the Osa Mitra. It did not rain. The Tanul Lahu Oishia Zeira de Min Chavraya. Oishia, who was the youngest from all of the Chevra, Zeira could be the youngest, it could be the least in terms of significance. Why does the Gemara talk about Oishia Zeira de Min Chavraya? Says Rashi, because in his day and age there was another Oishia in the yeshiva, and therefore to distinguish between one Oishia and the other Oishia, they said, oh, that's Oishia, and that's the young Oishia.
Oishia Zuta, Oishia Zuta.
Exactly, the younger one, the younger version. So people should know who we're talking about. Now, Oishia, here Ben Chavraya, as we'll see in a moment, was very, very truthful and very frank, and in fact, at his peril. Because he said that the reason why the rain is not coming is not because of the Oilam, but it's because of the Behanosi who are not acting the way they should. And it says in the Pasuk, that if the Eine or Eide means the leaders of the generation, the leaders of the congregation, if they did a shogig, then they have to go and bring a carpet. So now says Oishia Zeira de Min Chavraya, I have a marshal. Marshal Lekalish he bebeisavia calls Manche now Yofes in Kogufa Tzricha Bedika. And now true toys Kogufa Tzricha Bedika. If you have a Kalamod, Kala means a very a girl who's either already a Kala or is in the about to become a Kala, when she is living in the base. Kalamod, it's a Yiddish term.
Yeah, it's right. My parents always say Kalamod.
Kalamod, yeah.
But Mod is
it's not M-O-D-E. Kalamod means that she is already in the parsha of becoming a Kala.
Kibamoyed.
Maybe it comes from there. Could be. Anyway, so that's what they said about this Kala, about this young lady. So what's the marshal calls Manchi? Now your face, if you look into her eyes and you see that the eyes are shining, that they are pretty, that they're nice, then you don't have to worry about the rest of the body. A neho true toys, or Rashi is goyris, if the a neho enam your voice, or any neho your voice, then kol gufa tzricha b'dika. What the Gemara means to say is that you can go and typically tell whether a person is happy or sad or is healthy or not just by looking in their eyes. If you see in their eyes that something is wrong, then you know, uh-oh, the person is suffering from something. And then, even though you don't see that he has a broken leg or a broken arm or whatever, he's able to go and the machzik ma'amad, he's able to go around without people noticing. But if you see in the eyes that the person is straining, then you know, something is not 100%. So it's here too. Akala, if you see in her eyes that everything looks pretty and smiley and happy, then the rest of the body, you know that she's okay, she's healthy. However, if you see that the eyes are sad, or they seem to be not in the normal way that they should be, then you know that you have to be concerned.
I think we had cross-eyed, or trutos. We had that with Yeshua ben Prachia coming back, and the Talmud says her eyes are trutos.
If you see that there's an asterisk together with a semicircle over there, one part of the parentheses, if you go down to the bottom, it says Ayin Rashi Shabbos Lamed Aleph. You're free to look it up. But Shabbos Lamed Aleph, Rashi says to the effect that the eyes look weak.
Okay.
Anyway, so says the Gemara. What was his marshal? What is his nimshal? Is he's saying that the leaders of the generation, they are the Eini Ho'eda. The Eini Ho'eda meaning that they are the Einayim like this of this Kala. And if they would have pretty eyes, then you have nothing to worry about. Then it would be raining. But of course but unfortunately, says the Oishia, that they did not have pretty eyes, these Eini Ho'eda. In other words, they apparently did some sort of sin, which the Gemara doesn't spell out. And because of that, that's the reason why the Eida is suffering. It's because of the Eini Ho'eda.
But the Bedika has to be on the community, because just like the body of the Kala.
So you're not happy with the marshal.
The problem is not on the eyes, it's on the body. Tzricha Bedika is, you know what I mean? It's more a reflection of the community than it is on the leaders. Because that's what needs, that's in the parallel from the Kala, that's what he's
putting. I hear you beautifully, but the point of the Gemara is, let's take a look at the Rashi. Rashi, Me'eni or Eda. Rashi is about halfway down the Omud of the Gemara. Out of the Rashi, halfway down the Omud of the Gemara. Me'eni or Eda. Zekenim, Me'ire, Eine Ha'om. These are the so-called Zekenim, the leaders. Bismachinea Yofis and Kogufa. The Vade Kogufa Yofi. You don't have to check. Eine Ne'er Yofis. Hoyil. Va'no de Benesia. De Havi, Eine Ha'eda. They're the Eine Ha'eda. Rishoyim. Dalasom ain't tricha lives like mamasim. You don't even have to look at the rest of the folk. Lekach loy mishkichu behu min hashemayim. That's the reason why they're not looking down. That's the reason why it's not raining min hashemayim. Because unfortunately, the enyo eda arishoyim. You don't have to go and check on the masses as to what they're doing, their conduct, whether they're tzaddikim, rishoyim. Just look at the enyo eda, and you have the whole answer. So guess what happens? The word got back, of course, to the Beit Nasiya. Also, Abdes and Adi Abodin, Beit Nasi. Rashi changes at this point from Beit Nasi to Reish Kavusa. So apparently these are synonymous terms, even though we normally think of Beit Nasi in Israel and Reish Kavusa out in Bavel. But for our purposes, they're synonymous. Also, Abdes, the henchman, came from the Beit Nasi or from the Reish Kavusa. Veromale Sudr Bitzavare. And they took a Sudr around his neck. The Kamatzarele, and they started choking him. Rachman Litzlan. Amruluhu b'nei Mose. So the people that lived there in that town, together with Oishia Zeira min Chavraya, they called out to these officers, to these henchmen, Shavke, leave him alone. Do'anam mitzar alone. You should know that he bothers us from time to time too by giving us Musr and Teichocha. However, we see he is totally sincere. Everything that he does with Shem Shemayim, we don't bother him and we allow him to preach whatever he wants to because we see he means it Erlach, he means Shem Shemayim. And therefore, so please, you too, leave him go and don't bother him anymore. And presumably that's what they did, although the Gemara doesn't tell us anything beyond that.
They
are Rishayim.
So, the Lasa Am
means the regular people of the folk.
No, Dal Sam is something like the Dal.
The word Dal means the poor people.
Dal Sam.
Right? And the reason why the Dal Sam is because they are the ones that are suffering the most by the shortage of rain. There's no rain, people are suffering, and they particularly are suffering, they have nothing to eat. Okay. You don't have to go and check whether they are criminals or whether they are tzaddikim, because it all has to do with the Eine Ha'edam. So, Timoriyat Vaiter, Rebbe Goza, with the first wide line at the end of the line, Rebbe Goza Tanisa Vilei Osa Mitra. Rebbe was Goza Tanis, and it didn't rain. Nochas Kamei Ilfa, the Amri La Reb Ilfi. Nochas Kamei means they were Mechabit Ilfa or Reb Ilfi to go and daven for the Omid on the day of the Tanis. And he started davening, and he got up to Mashav Ruach, Omer Mashav Ruach, when Nosa Zika, on the side it says the Noshev Zika, and the wind started blowing from Elosha Mashav Ruach. When he said, Moira Goshem, the awesome Mitzvah started pouring. Amalei, so Rava was very impressed with Ilfa Orev Ilfi, and he asked him, my Ilfdech, what do you do? In other words, why do you have such a schus that it starts raining when you say, Mashav Ruach, my Goshem? Amalei, Diarna, Bekusta Dechika, I live in a small town, the less Bei Chamra, the Kiddush of Abdalta. They don't have any wine for either Kiddush or Abdalta. Terach, the Vasina Chamra, the Kiddush of Abdalta. And every single week, I'm a triach to go and find and bring and schlep and buy wine for Kiddush of Abdullah, and then I make Kiddush presumably in shul or whatever, and I might see everybody yidei choyve. So this great schos, that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu is bringing the rain. I didn't see this in Rashi, but it would seem perhaps that why is this considered to be so special? Because of course you can go and make Kiddush on Shabbos on Chalas, it doesn't have to be on wine, and you can go make Havdalah on Chamar Medina, it doesn't have to be on wine. But he wanted to go and do it Lefnei Mishur Sadin, Hidr Mitzvah, that should be with wine, and everybody appreciated that. They all wanted to hear this beautiful Kiddush over the wine. So because of that Hidur, L'shem Shemayim, Kiddush Baruch Hu said, he goes out of his way, I'm going to go out of my way, and I'm going to go and give the month of the rain.
This is Ilfa, not to be confused with it. It refers to Ilfa, nothing coming to Ilfa. Ilfa, we had the story of Yochanan and Ilfa that they were...
It could be it was the same Ilfa, could be.
Ilfa went to work, and Rabbi Yochanan stayed in Beis HaMedrash.
He became the Nasi, where he He came back to Shiva.
Right, but Ilfa said, but I still have retained all of my learning. He went up to the top of the mass. And the Yohan Novi came in the form of a governor, and he asked him a whole bunch of questions, and he knew everything. He knew that all the prices of Reb Chiya and Reb Oshia, where you could find the Makor in the Mishnah, what was the case particularly over there, the Gabe Mitzvah kind of VMS, as you'll recall. Anyway, so either it's the same Ilfa or a different Ilfa, the Amila Rav Ilfi presumably is a different individual. But regardless, in either case, we're talking about he was Moisa Nefesh for wine, for Kiddush and Abdullah. Rav Ikl Lahi Asra, Lahu Asra. Rav came to a particular place and there was no rain, because of Tanis, well, the Asra Mitra, it did not rain. Nochas Kamei Shlich Tzibur, Shlich Tzibur went in front of the Amid, Om Mash Baruch, Menashav Zika, and Amal Meir Gashim, the Asra Mitra, the same type of situation as before. Amal Meir Uvdach, what do you do? Amal Meir Mikri Dardik Yana. I am a malamid, I teach children. Number one is, I teach everyone without discrimination. It doesn't matter whether they are poor, whether they're rich, whoever cannot afford it, I don't take any money from him. If he can't afford it, he can't afford it. This he paid the recovery. And apparently he had independent wealth. In other words, not that he's not necessarily wealthy, but he didn't need to come on to the amount of money that people were paying tuition as a mikri gadiki, because he had paid the kavri. And Rabbi Nechananel says in my Gemara, it's all the way at the bottom, the last two, three lines, if we paid the kavri to mefarnasna mine, where I have parnasa from the paid the kavri. Kavri, of course, are fish, therefore he probably had some sort of fish tank in which he grew fish, not just a small tank, but whatever, and he would go and sell the fish, and with that he had parnasa for himself and for his mishpacha. V'cholman de posha, if I have one of the children is not learning, and not learning the way he should, I don't give him pech, but just the other way around. I go and take some of the fish and I give him shoychad, I give him a bribe. Today we would say we give him nash. And I would be in the sadrit. In other words, I would prepare it so he should be able to eat it. And as a result, I would appease him, the Asi Bakari, until he came back and he learned gishmak. And that's chus of a malamed going out of his way. And number one, taking these children for free without getting paid, and number two, instead of giving patch, being nice and kind-hearted
out of his own pocket,
because of that, and that's Chus HaKadosh Baruch Hu went also the extra mile and sent down rain. Rav Nachman goes to Tanisa, boy, Rachmi v'liyasa mitra, didn't rain. Amisha klua l'Nachman, chavoyte min guda li'ara, go and take Nachman. Rav Nachman said about himself, obviously I am not worthy. Take Nachman, chavoytu min guda, throw him down from his high position, a guda means a wall, throw him down from the wall, la'ara, onto the ground, because I don't deserve to be the leader if I can't go and bring the rain. Cholish daita, he was so distressed and so depressed, Basa Mitra, it started raining. Similar to the Gemara before. Rabba goes to Tanis and boy Rachmi v'liyasa mitra. Rabba goes to Tanis, it didn't rain, umbrulay. Don't you remember Rav Yehuda, who lived not too long ago, when he was going to Tanis, it immediately rained. So how come, Rabbi, how come when you're going to Tanis, it doesn't rain? Amluhu, so Rabbi says, I don't really know. My Avid, what can I do? Imishim Tanuye, if you're going to tell me that in the times of Rav Yehuda, they learned more Torah than we do, it's not true. Anan adifina minayu. We are better in that respect. Why? The Mishnei Rav Yehuda, in the time of Rav Yehuda, Kol Tanuye, all of the yeshivas and all the learning was the Nezikin Abba. They were all learning Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, Bava Basra. They were learning Nezikin. Vanan komasinan b'shita Sidrin, and we're learning Ganshas from Zroyim through Taharis, and so much so. V'chiyav motir of Yehuda beuktzin or ishi shekaveshes yerek b'teira v'yamilah zaysim shekavshim b'tarfein tohirin. When Rav Yehuda would come across these two Mishnayos from the Gemara, it sounds like the two Mishnayos are in Masechtas Uktzin, but in fact only the latter one is Masechtas Uktzin. The first one is in Mishnah in Taharis. So either it's a misquote, or the Tzlach, I believe, says that although the Gemara says Uktzin, he just means in Hilchos Uktzin, because Masechtas Uktzin deals very much with a Yad or a Shomer. Well, what is this Gemara about? What's a Yad? What's a Shomer? What are you talking about? We're talking about is that normally only food items are Mekabel Tumah. However, the stems of the food items are not Ro'oi La'achila, and therefore they're not Mekabel Tumah. However, if the stem is a handy way of holding on to the fruit or to the food item, then it can act as a conduit for purposes of Tumah V'Taharah. So for instance, if you want to go and get regular tomatoes, you can get it in the store at Chavayis for 99 cents a pound. But if you want to go and get them with the stems still attached to tomatoes, then they charge them like they're organic, and then it's $3.99 a pound. It's certainly worth it to be able to go and take off the stem and throw it in the garbage. Anyway, the point is, you can pick up the tomatoes with the stem because they're still attached to it very firmly. If that is the case, if Tumah were to touch the stem, even though it didn't touch the tomato, the stem acts as a conduit, as a connection to the food item, and a transmitter, and guess what? And then the food item is going to become tummy. So, Mesechtas Uktzin talks about that at great length. Uktzin is talking about the ukitz that's sticking out from the bottom. We're talking about the stem sticks from the top. But it's the same thing, just like by an ester, you have the ukitz from the stem that's attached to the tree. So here you have the stem which is attached to tomatoes, or to the grapes, or to the apple, or whatever it happens to be. So what does it say there in those two mesechtas, in these two cases? Normally one could learn that this means that a woman pickled yirokos. Yerek doesn't necessarily mean vegetables, it could also mean grass. But anyway, she was pickling them in a ketera. The amila or, we have another one, zesim are olives, shekovshim b'tarfein, which were pickled together with their tarfein, means the leaves were still attached to the olives. So then in that case, the stems of the yerek and the leaves of the zesim are all tohar. Now why are they tohar? If I know that if Tumah touches them, normally they're tahar, but since they are attached to the food item, why is the food item tahar? When the Gemara says over here, tahar, we don't mean only the leaves or the stems, we mean that they were not capable of connecting or transmitting the Tumah to the food item, and therefore the food item is tahar. The question is why? So, lulei Rashi, without Rashi, the Poshim Shat moves to Mishnayis is because as a result of the pickling, then the leaves or the stems became very weak, and they no longer are strong enough to hold on and to pick up.
The functionality is compromised.
Exactly. And since that functionality is compromised, that's a very fancy term, because it is compromised, that's why it's no longer an effective yad, and therefore it no longer acts as a conduit and no longer acts as a transmitter for purposes of Tumah V'Taharah. Rashi, however, learns a little bit differently, that the koiveshes and the kofshin means that she squeezed out all of the moisture from the yerek. And it's interesting, the word kveshes is similar to the Yiddish term kvetch. So kveshes, she's kvetching out from the yerokos all of the water and all the moisture that was in it. And as a result, now when you try to go and pick it up with the yerek, all that moisture had left, and therefore I guess the connection was missing, and therefore the yad would fall off, or the yerokos would fall off the yad. Anyway, it's done. So when we learn this, says Rava, that's standard. We learn Taharas all the time. We learn all Sheish Sindras, all this Shisha Sindra Mishnah. However, when Rav Yehuda would learn these two Mishnahis, it was so foreign to him. Omer Havayis the Rav Shmuel Kachazina Hacha. I find here the most profound and the most deep Shailas that Rav and Shmuel would argue about in learning these two Mishnahis. We have 13 yeshivas that focus on these types of halachas and these types of Mishnahis, learning Taharas. When Rav Yehuda would just take off one shoe, Osi Mitra, it would start pouring. We can go and scream from Hanpes Morgan Agam Tzatuk for lack of Ashkelon, and nobody listens to us. In other words, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is ignoring us. So therefore, says Rabbi, if it's because of learning, we learn more than they do, both in terms of breadth, in terms of depth. So that can't be the rest.
This is Rabbi Yehuda started learning at Rav, and then he went over.
Rabbi Yehuda by Yecheskel.
No, then went to
Shmuel after Rav's nifter.
L'choira, this is a Talmud. If it's a Talmud,
Rav and Shmuel.
So if this is in fact Rav Yehuda, the Amoira, he was a Talmud of Rav and Shmuel,
right,
and would be a shtickle pella that his koyach and tefillah would be so great compared to Rabba, who lived in the same era. However, perhaps, although the Gemara says Rav, maybe it's Reb Yehuda, and if it's Reb Yehuda, that would be the Tana of Yehuda Rabbi Eloi. Regardless, this was a very, very great person.
Yehuda got lied, didn't know. He learned only in Zikin.
He was a Tana, exactly. I don't know. Very good question. But bottom line is, by Rav Yehuda, in his man, they learned less than they're learning today. I will continue on. Imishem Uvda, if it's because of Maasim, in other words, because of mitzvahs or the absence thereof, if somebody sees something about me, says Rabbah, where they think that I'm not acting properly, lema, let him open his mouth and tell me. And therefore, Rabbi is basically saying is that Baruch Hashem, among the yeshivalites, among the Rosh Hashivas, etc., Baruch Hashem, the dor is great. But unfortunately, the rest of the dor, the people that are not learning Damaratzim, unfortunately, they are not on that madrega to go and warrant that the Kodesh Baruch Hu should make a special nes and it should start ready. So now the Gemara picks up on what we said before. Rav Yehuda Choza Ano Beitrei, they have a comparative rifta. Rav Yehuda in his time saw how two bochrim, two young lights, whatever, were playing with bread. Then presumably they were throwing bread one to the other like you throw a ball. Obviously there must be plenty of bread, because if there wouldn't be bread, then how could they go and be playing with food?
Disrespectfully.
If they're disrespectful to food, that means there's plenty of food, and therefore you have enei havekafna. Therefore he focused with his eyes, and unfortunately as a result there was now a famine in the land, because Rav Yehuda felt if they're playing with the bread, that means there's too much food. Omli Rabban Rav Kahana Bered Rav Nechunya Shamei Mar Vishchiach Kamei, or Shamei Shamei Dimar, probably the Aleph probably adds a dollar of Dimar, right? Shamei Dimar, yeah. Shamei Deshchiach Kamei. What the, presumably the first day, things were still okay. But after a while, as a result of what Rav Yehuda did, there was a kafna and everybody started feeling it. And they wanted to have someone that would go to Rav Yehuda, that he should now change his mind and feel that unfortunately there's a shortage, and he should be Yoiv Eine, and there should be now Kedei Soiva. So Omer le Rabban, so Rabban said to Rav Kahana b'Rei Rav Nechunya, Shamei, who was the Shamis Tamar of Rav Yehuda, the Shchiach Kamei, and he was a frequent flyer in his home because he was the Shamis. So he said, Naasye to Leifik, go and please try to work it out that Rav Yehuda, when he leaves his house, he shouldn't leave from the front door like he usually does, but the Leifik Bepischa, the Samach Leshuka, he should go out a back door which is close to the marketplace. So Asye, in fact, he, Rav Kahana, B'rei Rav Nechunya, worked it out, Venofik Leshuka, and he went to Taka together with his Rebbe, Rav Yehuda, into the marketplace. Chose Knufi, and he saw that there was a whole group of people getting together, and they were doing something. Amrlehu, my eye, what is this gathering here in the middle of the street? Amrlei, a kuspe de tamri kaimi, to come is daven. They are arguing about a kuspe de tamri. What says a kuspe de tamri? Rashi says, Al kli moli tomorrow. They were fighting about one basket full of dates or date residue, something the psoilus that you would normally toss. And he's saying, "Ooh, that's what they're arguing about." Obviously, there must be a major shortage of famine that people should be arguing tomorrow. And then we had the gemara before that Bava was full of tomorrow, so much so that if he ate too many, then afterwards you could suffer the whole night. Exactly. So the point is, there are tons of tamarim, and if they're fighting over these tamarim, obviously there's a shortage, there's a famine. Omali v'shamei, shloifli nesani, please take off my shoe. Sholof v'cham nesani, as soon as you took off one shoe, v'asimitra, it started going and pouring. This is the reference that he had in the Gemara before, that Rabbi said as soon as he took off his shoe. Rashi points out, we don't mean to say that there was a tanis tzibur like Tisha B'Av, where everybody had to remove their shoes, because we had an early Gemara that ain't Tanis Tzibur B'Bavel, that today there's no more Tanis Tzibur B'Bavel, and therefore the Chumim were not gozer at any point that people should have the stringencies of Yom Kippur or Tisha B'Av, that you have to take off your shoes. However, the reason why he took it off is Rashi Mishum Inui, because he wanted to mitzayir himself, he wanted to join in the Tzora and the Tzar of the Tzibur. As soon as he took off one shoe, it started raining. Kimot on the mission, when he wanted to take off the second shoe, Osal Yod, Yod never came. Yomalei, Omer Kodesh Baruch Hu, Ishal v'Zachrina. If you take off the second one, Machrina the Alma Chas Hashem, they're going to be such torrential rains, the whole world is going to be destroyed, like a marble in the times of Noach. So therefore, stay with one shoe on, one shoe off. And eventually, I'm sure he put the second shoe on after the rain subsided. Omer Meri Barad did Bas Shmuel, and no have Keimna Agudin Din Har Papa. I was there living at that time, and I was there on the Gudah Dahar Papa. Chazoy the Malachi. So if this is Brother Bashmuel, it can't be the Rav Yehuda Rav Loi. It's got to be the Amoy Rav Yehuda. Anyway, Chazoy the Malachi. I saw Malachim the Idmu the Malchi, that they were dressed up in costumes like Malchi. Malchi means sailors. The Kamaisi Chala. They were bringing tons of soil of dirt of earth, and they filled it up into the boats. And now these boats sailed from wherever they were to port. People came and said, what do you have there? And guess what? Miraculously, all of the sand became transformed into flour. Everybody wanted to go and buy from the flour. Amalahu Sehi Rav Meri, brother Bashmuel, who had seen how this was originally soil, and now it's being sold as flour. Amalahu Miholit has been no, don't buy any of this. The Masa Nisimu, it's a Masa Nisimu, like we learned in the Yomar Aleph, you're not supposed to have a no from a Masa Nisim.
It's more Kishuf than Nisim, isn't it? It's more Kishuf.
It depends who is doing it. If it was Shindalit and evil demons doing it, that's Kishuf. Okay. If these are Malachim, they're doing it. Mm-hmm. And these are not Malachi Chabola. These are good Malachim, like Avriel and Rafael. Nice guys. If they're doing it, it means Hashem empowered them to do it. The next day, Asyun Arbit Chiti de Parzina. Baruch Hashem, new boats came in from a place called Parzina, and they brought in wonderful stocks of food, and people were able to go and buy from them. They didn't have to be Zoche, they didn't have to be Zoche from a Maisanis. Talking about Vaita Rava Ikla Hagronya. Rava came, I'm sorry?
You have a fast revival.
So you don't have a tiny tzibur with all the severities of a tiny tzibur. Not that you don't have a tiny tzibur that has a status like a tamas yochid. In other words, you can fast, but without the additional inuyim of rechitza, ne'ilas asandal, tasha shamita, and sicha. But about the eating and drinking, that's double portion. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Chanina, tamidacham. I'm Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Chanina.
If you're not sure where it is, that's what you should. If you see it inside, you'll remember where it is.
Shkoyach. Dr. Moravait Rabbi Ikla Hagronya. Rabbi Kim Hagronya. Because the Tanisha was going to Tanis, the Yasa Mitra, it did not rain. Amalahu, he said to the Oilam, Bisu Kuli Alma Tanisaichu. Go and sleep over it in your Tanis. In other words, Matze Tanis don't eat. Everybody just go to sleep. Lamacha, the next morning, Amalahu, he said to them, Mi'ikar Mechaza Chilma, did anybody see a dream overnight? Lema, let him tell it. Amalahu, Rablozme Hagronya. Remember, we're in Hagronya, so Rablozme from Hagronya said, last night they called out in a dream to me, Shalom Tov, like Shalom Aleichem, L'Rav Tov, to the good Rav, Meriven Tov, from the good Rabbeinu Shaloylam, Dimituv and Meitav Li'ami, who's Meitav to his nation. So obviously you see the word Tov is repeated several times. Omar said, Rav, when he heard this dream, Shmami no Isrotzin, must be an Isrotzin, that goodness is going to happen. So let's go and daven now. They asked, they daven, it started raining. Have a wonderful day. A Friday comes with Chanukah. I get you, I get convention, and all wonderful things. Yeah, exactly. So there was a person who was Mechuyev Nagda. Nagda means to get Pech, Makis. And the Bezdin of Rava. Mishum the Baal Voal Kusis, because unfortunately he went and lived with a Kusis, with a Goita. Nagdi Ravas, Rava gave him Pech, meaning Malkis, Umis, unfortunately they gave a little bit too much Pech, and the person died. Ishtama moved to Beishova Malka. Beishova Melech heard about this, that Rava's Bezdin executed someone. They didn't do it intentionally. Abba Lamaisa, person died in his Bezdin. So Shoma Malka was upset. And they want to go and give Rava a punishment. Omrele Ifra Hormiz Imed Shoma Malka Libra. So the mother of Shoma Malka, who was Ifra Hormiz, said to her son, Loit Lehebeloch Isik Dvorim Bahadi Yudoi. Don't start up with the Jews. Don't start up with Rava. Tchoman Debayin Mimarayu Yovlu. Whatever they ask from their Rabbeinu Shalom, from their master, he gives them. And so therefore, don't start up. It's not in not in your interest. Omalos, so now, Shoma Malka said to his mother, Mayhi, give me an example. What can they do that whatever they ask for, Kadosh Baruch Hu gives them? She said, very simple, Bayin Rachmi, if there happens to be a shortage, or there's a drought, they go and daven in their shul, Vasi Mitra, and it starts raining. So you see, Kadosh Baruch Hu gives them whatever they want.
Isn't it typically not that the Bezdinim in Bavel don't give Malkus, don't give capital punishment? How could they give capital punishment?
They didn't give capital punishment.
Even like Malkus. Malkus, how could they give?
Maybe they only later on. Maybe this was such an unusual circumstance that Rava felt that if he doesn't take matters in his own hands, Chas v'Shalom, he could spread and other people will get married goitis. So maybe it was like that, how you write Shah. Amalas, and now Shavra Malkus says to his mother, Ahu Mishim Dezim Dimitro, when do they go and get together and make Tanesim and they are Masriya and when do they daven? They do Chesrin Kislev Tevish. That's this my mater. Eli Boy Rachmiu in the Kuvis Tamuz Vuleisi Mitra. Let's see now in the middle of July or August, let's see if they go in Mispal, if it's going to go and rain. Shokhli the Rabbah, so she sent a message to Rabbah, Kavein Datech, have Kavona, Uboy Rachmi and be Mispal, Vuleisi Mitra. Now in the middle of the summer it should start rain. They started davening, but it didn't rain. It doesn't normally rain in July or August in the summer months in Eretz Yisrael. And in that whole area. Yeah, bubble. Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't mean Eretz Yisrael. I meant the Mediterranean area, that area. So he's saying this, Kodesh Baruch Hu, we have heard with our own ears, we heard from our Ovis how you did for them all types of pu'ulais, all types of nisim, but unfortunately we didn't see it with our own eyes. Ein shmiya dom l'ri'ya. We heard about it, but we never saw it. Asamitra Kodesh Baruch Hu caused the terrain, adeshofach marzvi de tzipoy l'diglis, until the marzavi, marzavi usually gutters and leaders of Tzipoyri, of the town Tzipoyri, that they flowed into the Diglis River. That's how much rain fell. Huge storm of rain came. Asavu Yitzchali said, obviously, she proved to her son, Shavamalka, don't start up with the Jews, because whatever they ask for, Kodesh Baruch Hu gives them. However, the father of Rava was not happy, because we started off today's Gemara, don't be matriach your koine, don't be matriach your boinu shaloylam, more than you should. Asavu, so the father of Rava came, the son of Chalmi came to him in a dream, Amalei, and he said to his son, Me'ikun mitrach kam yishmai kol yihai, can you matriach your boinu shaloylam so much in the middle of July, August, it should be pouring? Amalei, therefore, he said to his son, I give you some advice, Shani duchtach, go and move from your normal place where you live. Shani duchte and Itaka moved. The next day, Ashkeche de Mirsham Puri Besakini, that his former bed where he used to sleep for the last 20 years, was unfortunately pierced numerous times with sakinim, with knives. That means Malachi Chabola came down to punish Rava for being matriach the Rabbeinu Shloim, but apparently they didn't know his new address, so they only were able to pierce the old bed without him, and therefore he lived, but the bed had to be thrown out. Rapapa goes to Tanisa, Rapapa was going to the town of the Asamitra, did not rain. Cholish leave, of course, he was upset. Soraf Pincho de Daisa, Uboy Rachmi. After that, he went and drank. The word Soraf is to drink up or to eat. Pincho de Daisa, like a bowl of Daisa. Daisa, and it's sort of some side of farina, some side of cereal, whatever. Anyway, Zokti Yimara. And that boy Rachman, after that he was mispalved. The Yosemitra still didn't rain. It's only Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman said to Rav Papa, Bar Ushpizati. Bus is Bar Ushpizati. So Rashi, you have over here on the side Mishan Rashi, but here on the side Ushpizati Gir Saorach Ushparasi Pirish Hushem Imoy to Rav Papa. So Rav Papa's mother's name was Ushpizati. Very interesting name.
But why would he be called him by his mother's name, he's called by his father's name. It's unusual.
Okay, so we're not finished. Amalei Rav Nachman, so he said to Rav Papa, Baruch Pizati, you son of Ushpizati, Yisor of Mar, Pinchach Leti, the Daisa, Osimitra. You know what? Maybe if you go and take another bowl of the Daisa, maybe it's going to start raining now. After all, that's what you did, right? It's a shortage, there's a famine and a hunger, and what did you decide to do? You decided to go and eat a bowl of cereal, and then you daven and didn't rain. Maybe eat another bowl. So Rashi says that he said it ulechuk ka'amalei. He told it to him in a jocular, sarcastic way. You should first daven, and then if you're hungry, go and eat something. Eat breakfast before you go and daven. Ah, come on. So therefore he played with him. You can imagine the papa was a little upset. He was embarrassed. And then it started raining. So now getting back to your question, why do you call him his mother's name? Maybe call him his mother's name as part of that sarcasm, as part of that rhetorical comment. Maybe that really pushed him. He didn't refer to him by his father's name. He referred to him, not the, his father, who was the great, Reb Moshe of the generation.
Right.
He referred to him, your mother Sally, you know, Sally or Sprinza. Yeah. And eat another bowl of free. In fact, ask your mother to go and prepare another bowl for you. Let's see if it rains. Anyway, Cholish Daitavasidit. And now we get into the sugya of Rav Chanina ben Doisa, one of the most famous sugyas in Shas. Rav Chanina ben Doisa, Havakah Ozel Baruch, he was going down the road. Oh, Samitra started raining. but he did not have his umbrella with him. Everybody else is at home and having a good time, and they are not in trouble. But unfortunately, it's pouring, and I'm getting all wet. Pasuk Midra, the mutter stopped. When he got home, people need the rain because most of the world is supported by the agriculture, and therefore everybody's bitzar because it's not raining. I'm home, so everything is fine. Also, it started raining. The Kohen Gadol's tefillah on Yom Kippur is garnished compared to Rav Chanina ben Doisa. Now we learn to the Mishnah. When he came out of the Heichal, he made a tefillah katzara, and he said, "My matzli, what was he mispal? Rabban bar Adam, Rabban bar Adam, Amit Ravayu, Mishmei." This year, now it's Yom Kippur, the year that's following should now be Geshuma, it should be a rainy year. Ushchuna, it should be a hot year. Pray tomorrow, Shchuna, it should be a hot year. Hot is Malusi. Adra Begrezi, it's terrible if it's too hot. I mean, that's the whole climate change, that they're spending billions and trillions of dollars to line some politicians' pockets about this wonderful climate change. Ella Faket, Im Shchuna Tehei Geshuma, if it was decreed upstairs that it's going to be a hot year, then instead or in addition, bring a lot of rain to that at least. Will be a lot of moisture and will offset the heat. Utlula, Utlula from Lashon Talk, should take the Kuma, Kishuma, Utlula, which we have a lot of rain and a lot of dew. And don't like the Oyver Drachim, the travelers, prayers come before you to cause you to
withhold
the rain. So that's what the Gemara was saying, that the tefillah of Rav Chanina ben Doisa is so powerful that Kohen Gadol can stand on his head and he can say, Alikos Venech, the Oyver Drachim, Rav Chanina ben Doisa's tefillah will be listened to. He continued on the tefillah that was said by the Kohen Gadol. The royalty should not leave Beis Yehuda. They shouldn't have to never go and solicit funds to have parnasah. This one from that one, that one, from that one. In other words, they should all be independently comfortable and wealthy. For merits, every day there's a baskel that comes out and announces, Tzidkus was such that the entire world gets their support and their food in the schus of Rav Chanina ben Doisa. Rav Chanina ben Doisa himself, he suffices with the very, very meager staple.
Buxer diet.
Yes, a Buxer diet. And he would eat Buxer from Erev Shabbos from Friday to Friday. In other words, that's all his diet was. Mirchim, we're going to continue tomorrow learning more about Rav Chanina ben Doisa. Have a wonderful day.